Hello.
I combined a tome with Wurt's leg, but stuff still happened.
So what's up?
It's getting very fashy outside. It's been fashy. It's getting fashier. Let's talk about Los Angeles. Starting on Friday and over the weekend, there have been clashes between federal law enforcement and protesters in LA as ICE has been escalating their deportation efforts in the city. Now, if you're not familiar with LA, there's a few Latino people there. There's a handful of them. At least one or two I haven't personally counted. So ICE shows up in downtown LA and starts to detain people at storefronts while they're working. You know, contributing? Such hardened criminals. About 200 people showed up to protest these ICE operations, try to block them, just impede their work. Because no one wants them there. This is not what the city voted for. It's not what the state voted for. It's not what the people there want. But it's happening to them because just general aggression from the right. Trump has made California his punching bag. Like, despite the quality of life in California being pretty good comparatively, he's made it out to be this hellhole that's just complete anarchy. And for whatever reason, people on the right eat it up. And so they're targeting primarily places that they've been told have fallen, right? So I want to be clear, before I dig into the timeline of what happened in LA, I want to just say up front, LA is fine. Seattle is fine. Chicago is fine. These places have not been destroyed. I said 200 people showed up. That's 200 people. LA has millions of people living there. It was like a few blocks. Like if you were in the city, there was virtually no chance that you'd even stumble upon it. So don't let the media overplay the scale of all of this. It's important to note that. What the protesters did was courageous, but it didn't destroy the city. ICE ended up arresting 44 people, including the head of the United Service Workers Union for the region, which, that's not a good look. The protesters were mostly around a detention facility and a federal building, and that's more or less where it went on for the night. On Saturday, the raids continued, but they moved over into the nearby town of Paramount, which is over 80% Latina. They started going after day laborers at a Home Depot because, again, those criminals ruining our country by building things. As ICE showed up, the community started to push back. About 400 people in total at peak showed up to push back against it. Things continued to escalate. Protesters pushed back. ICE and law enforcement were using less lethal munitions, which is to say rubber bullets, which can still kill you. It came to a head on Saturday night when the President of the United States of America asserted that he was sending 2,000 troops from the National Guard into LA to quell the anarchy. 400 people. 400. Got to send in the National Guard on top of the FBI and ICE and local law enforcement to handle 400 people who are not in tactical gear. What a strong man. Notably, both the governor of California and the mayor of LA said, don't do that. That's a bad idea. There's no need that's not currently met by existing forces. I would say that there isn't a need to begin with to have any of the forces. Not to sit out an opportunity to be a complete chud, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, jumped in to say that if need be, he would deploy Marines against US citizens. That's not how that works. That's not how that works. The White House put out a statement saying that the Commander-in-Chief would establish law and order, which is not the capacity that the president is acting in when he's executing the law. But, you know, what does that matter anymore? And before the night was over, Trump thanked the National Guard for solving the problem before the National Guard even actually arrived in LA. Mission accomplished. I'm recording this on Sunday, and as of right now, it's been relatively quiet. There's literally a live stream of the chaos in the city, and it's just a live stream of National Guards members standing around in a parking lot looking around at nothing. At the same time, there's now pictures coming out of local community members cleaning up the mess of rubber bullets and gas canisters left behind by the cops. Monday, boom, jump scare. It's the next day. I did not sleep well last night, so my voice and vibe will be different. I wanted to include a bit of an update. There were more protests on Sunday night that grew to a much larger scale. A large crowd of people took to the streets to show solidarity with their community against the Fed. It was largely peaceful. It was literally just a bunch of people walking in the streets, marching. There was scuffles, obviously, that's going to happen at any mass gathering like this. But yeah, not a war zone still. That said, there's also clips of police brutality that is going around. One clip shows LAPD on horses just trampling a dude repeatedly. And another shows an Australian news reporter reporting. And a cop just takes aim and shoots a rubber bullet directly at her on camera. They're creating these scenes in progressive places that did not want this to happen. They're specifically targeting these places because they've spent decades at this point convincing their base that America has fallen. They truly and honestly build this as warfare and have convinced people that it is dangerous to go to cities because of violent immigrants marauding the place. Obviously, to anyone who exists in actual reality, that's not happening. But they can't be like, psych, now that we're in office, that's not actually a problem. They're trying to make good on the lies that they have spun. And the way they're doing that is targeting places that are okay with having these people there and getting rid of them and getting footage of tearing them out of buildings so that they can play that footage for their base. Gotta satisfy the bloodlust. Hello, hello, hello. If you like what I do, thank you for being here, first of all. Second of all, I've got a Patreon, I've got a merch store, I've got a Discord community, I've got a lot of other stuff. I stream on Twitch also. Anyway, links in the description if you want to support me by sharing or subscribing or what have you. All right, moving on. Moving on to policy. The mayor of Tulsa, Oklahoma has announced a plan to invest $100 million into the Black community of the city in response to the 1920s Tulsa race massacre. Up front, the funds for the reparations are privately raised. They're not taxes. And also the reparations are an investment. They're not giving people a check. But what is this? What's going on? Why are they doing this? The Tulsa race massacre is one of those stories that the U.S. really likes to bury. It really likes to not teach us when they're talking about racial history in the states. In the summer of 1921, white supremacists in Tulsa were deputized by the state and massacred an entire neighborhood of Black people. Specifically, the neighborhood was referred to colloquially as Black Wall Street because of how much prosperity was happening there for Black folks. A violent mob of white supremacists killed hundreds of people, injured hundreds more, and razed 35 square blocks of neighborhood, leaving over 10,000 people homeless. This is just a thing that happened. So obviously reparations didn't happen for a while, and about 20-ish, 30-ish years ago, there was an investigation into like the state's role in the massacre, and ultimately they suggested we should do reparations. And now the city has a Black mayor for the first time, and he is pushing for that to actually happen. This is one of those stories that's just like the MOVE bombings in Philadelphia, where the Philadelphia Police Department dropped multiple bombs from a helicopter onto residential buildings. The house blew up, people inside it die, and it started a fire that raged for over an hour while the police just let it. Dozens of homes were destroyed, people were made homeless, lives were lost, and we don't talk about that at all. But please, keep talking about Tiananmen Square, because the states have never done anything like that. Let's talk about the Trump and Musk fallout. We knew this was going to happen. We just didn't know when. After Musk left the White House, after having been beside Trump for the first few months of his presidency, they had a bit of a beef. Both of them very masculinely went to their social media platforms and subtweeted each other for several hours. Musk said that Trump is in the Epstein files, which like, de-doy, and also said that Trump should be impeached. While Trump says that Musk lost his mind and is a drug addict, which basically just means that Trump knew that Elon was on drugs, but let him just dismantle the government anyway. And Elon knew that Trump is a pedophile, but worked with him anyway. So that's well done, guys. The reactions from the right have been interesting to follow. At first, there was a lot of disbelief and confusion and a lot of public pleading for them to kiss and make up. Then that went to, there's no way this is real. They're both in on it somehow. Like this is a ploy. It's a distraction of some kind, but it hasn't really stopped. It's only kind of solidified. And at this point, right-wing figures, especially terminally online ones, are staking their claim as to more or less which side they're going to fall on, Musk or Trump. And now Musk is talking about making a new political party, which, what? Where are you going to put it? To the right of Trump? Anyway, it's all incredibly stupid and could have been avoided by just not having man children elevated to the highest levels of our society. Because these men's, and I do not say this lightly, are nincompoops. Nincompoops! You probably remember Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the man who was mistakenly deported due to a, quote, administrative error to the torture prison CICOT in El Salvador, that place that we're sending people without a trial. So there was the whole thing where the Trump administration accidentally deported a guy who wasn't supposed to be deported to a prison and then said that he could never come back. Notably, the prison is a place that claims no one will ever see the light of day once they enter there, sometimes referred to as a death camp. The United States government said that he was now out of their jurisdiction and there was nothing they could do to bring him back. The Supreme Court said, "What the fuck, bring him back?" To which the Trump administration said, "Nah." But now they're actually bringing him back. Why? To face charges, as Attorney General Pam Bondi has now charged him with trafficking people across the border in a 10-year-long operation. Suddenly, this guy has a criminal case. This specific guy. Because oops. Now, the announcement of these charges don't fill me with confidence that they're real, because a prosecutor in the office in charge of actually carrying out this current case quit immediately upon finding out about this. He had been working there for 15 years and was a high-ranking prosecutor and just noped out specifically because of this. Quoting ABC News, quote, "The decision to pursue the indictment against Abrego Garcia led to the abrupt departure of Ben Schrader, a high-ranking federal prosecutor in Tennessee. Schrader's resignation was prompted by concerns that the case was being pursued for political reasons." Weird. Attorneys for Abrego Garcia said he's going to fight this like hell. Best of luck. World stuff. Yeah, I don't know what that was. Let's talk about Ukraine. Ukraine pulled off a wild drone attack this past week that has been in planning for over a year and a half. The drone attack destroyed dozens of aircraft deep in Russia's territory in military installations. And when I say deep in Russia's territory, I mean like 2,500 miles from Ukraine. They did this by sneaking drones in shipping containers, essentially, and they had operatives actually out in Russia preparing for all of this. All at once, these shipping containers were placed in the right locations. There was a hatch on the top that opened up and allowed for a drone to come out that was manually piloted over the military bases to take out the planes. There were no casualties on either side. That's fucking crazy. This is the biggest drone strike operation in the war so far and a major turning point. Like, this, military strategists are freaking out about this. I almost forgot that you can do, like, covert military operations without just annihilating civilians. Russia has since responded to the attack with more bombings, and they claim that they're going to get revenge, despite also saying that it wasn't a big deal and that it was just that their planes caught fire. But we're going to get revenge! South Korea has a new president. Lee Jae-myung has won the presidency in South Korea. He is a, like, center-left to left-ish politician. He has previously likened himself to Bernie Sanders, but largely ran on a platform of pragmatism and just stability. Because if you recall, South Korea, their previous president, tried to enforce martial law, much to the chagrin of literally everyone. While he was in office, he was like, I'm gonna declare martial law, I'm gonna keep my power that way. To which his own party was like, bro, fucking what? Lawmakers in South Korea came together and very quickly said, no, no, no. And he became the first arrested and indicted president from South Korea. Imagine that. This new president is focusing on economic reform and trying to just reestablish any sense of faith in the government after that. He's also looking to take a new approach to foreign diplomacy, given Washington, D.C.'s slipping position on the world stage. But let's go a little bit north and talk about the North Korea. Remember a few episodes ago, I talked about how North Korea went to go deploy a warship and it did not work. It capsized. Well, they fixed it. They done fixed it. Well done, guys. Yeah, there's apparently they managed to pull it out of the water. They used like literal ropes and barges to just like, and then redeployed the ship. This was originally reported by a North Korean state-run media, but it was confirmed by satellite imagery. Congrats on the ship. Hopefully Kimmy J won't be too upset, but I'm pretty sure he's still recovering from his emotions. Gaming! The Switch 2 launched. It's a Switch. But again, despite some initial backlash about the pricing, it was exactly what you would expect from a Nintendo console release. There was lines out the doors, it's sold out, people are expecting there to be shortages for quite some time. Now that it's in the hands of the people, they've been tearing it apart, looking more into it. We've found that the Joy-Cons apparently are the same technology as the Switch 1 Joy-Cons. And so they might get that drift issue. There's a massive issue with Joy-Cons from the first generation Switch having just like stick drift issues, and Nintendo just denied it for a long time and it has been a legal nightmare for them. So people are a bit concerned to find that they're using the same technology in the Switch 2. It is a different part. but it's the same mechanism. So hopefully it won't go bad, but just look out for that. We also got a Witcher 4 tech demo. We saw a really, really, really pretty tech demo of the Witcher 4 running on Unreal Engine, and it's not actual gameplay. It's in-engine footage, but it's not gameplay. It's more of a demo of like, this is what we're building, like these are our tools and how we want to make the game, and like if everything goes great, this is how it could look. But I mean, it still looks really, really good. Besides that, Summer Games, it's Summer Game Fest. There's been a lot of announcements. I am not gonna bother trying to include every single announcement here. I will link to several articles that list a whole bunch of stuff. Here are my top three. This is not an actual top three. This is not exhaustive. I just saw these and got hyped. A new Resident Evil Requiem, a Lies of P DLC. I have not played Lies of P, but I know enough people who essentially have turned that game into their religion that I feel I should mention it. A new game by Yacht Club, the people who made Hollow Knight. They're making a new game called Mina the Hollower. Anyway, I lied. This is the fourth and top highlight. They're making a new Wu-Tang Clan game. Wu-Tang, Rise of the Deceiver. They are finally making a sequel. There was a Wu-Tang Clan game, like, a long time ago. Lightning Round. Jonathan Joss, known for his roles in King of the Hill and Parks and Rec, was murdered by his neighbor. According to his husband, it was because of homophobia. And the cops were pretty much immediately like, nah, it's not a hate crime. They have since walked that back due to the hate crime nature of the hate crime. The editorial board of the Philadelphia Inquirer published an op-ed digging into John Fetterman pretty strongly. They basically said, like, you were elected to represent the people and you're not doing that. A flotilla that's a, like, symbolic aid ship that has a bunch of international activists is making its way to Gaza, basically to bring attention to the whole situation and to force Israel into an awkward position. However, Israel, being Israel, didn't really care about the awkward position. And they're like, yeah, we'll stop those activists by any means necessary. Boom, it's me again from the next day. Again, Israel has since captured the boat and the people on the boat. What we know is that the activists were taken into custody. Israel used drones to drop some kind of powder on their boat, which we don't know what that is quite yet. And the latest that I have seen is that Israel is going to make these activists watch footage of the October 7th attacks. Disney has announced that they're going to be laying off several hundred more workers. A lost dog in the UK returned home after about a month-long journey. The dog went over 100 miles, including swimming to an island. But dog's home now. Everything's okay. Mount Etna, it blew up. It erupted. Here, okay, this is my, this is a great opportunity. You all get to see my volcano impersonation. Here we go. I'm Mount Etna. I did great. And finally for today, a museum in Amsterdam has opened a new exhibit showing off a 200-year-old condom. I'm not kidding. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and a 300-year-old condom. My name is Endeavorance. I'll be back on Monday. Take care and be well.